And now, back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Now, you're tuned in to What's Happening.
My pleasure to welcome back to the show Richard Hebert, Hebert's Garden Center. Hebert's Garden Center on the corner of Hopkins and West St. Peter. How you doing, sir?
Jeff, I'm doing good.
Happy to have you in the studio.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful day, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The temperatures are definitely telling us it's summertime.
You know, we don't have to talk about rain today. We haven't had a lot since we last saw each other.
That's right. I just noticed that the temperatures have upped
yes,
a little
they
bit.
Yes, have.
And
that is certainly prevalent this time of year, but it seems more so right now because it was kind of late in getting to that warmer weather.
You know, you're right. And, you know, I talk about, watering and the effects of water. There's no, you know, people come in the spring and they plant their plants and, you know, we tell them how much to water. And, you know, you just got to really watch it at this point because the temperatures add up. And it makes a big difference on plant material. There's generally three stages of heat, as I call it. You have the spring. And then you have this, the first heat wave is generally, like you would say, end of April, May, when temperatures start to get into the mid-80-ish temperature range. And then we get to what we just got to, where it starts to get into the lower 90s. Now, usually what happens is we get into August, and there's about a three-week period there where we get into the, you know, spotted here and there, some of the upper 90s. And so the amount of warning is that needs to be done changes based on those temperatures. And so, like last year, we kind of missed that August thing. We got so much rain that, you know, between the clouds and the rainfall, we just never got those extreme heats. But if it's a, you know, if it's a sunny, normal August, we'll get that, you know, three-week range of really just unbearable temperatures. And so we're not there yet. You know, that's not happening. But if you do have, you know, especially container plants, it's a different game right now. You really can't miss waterings because it will let you know it and usually will not give you an opportunity to solve the problem. If you're going for a weekend, you may come back and it's, you know, and you're saying, wow, what happened? I was watering the same way. You just, you know, ideally, if you can water in the mornings, that's ideal. If you have to leave, you have no one to water, kind of maybe shift the plant material into a shady part of the area. Maybe put sauces underneath it and fill that with water. Just anything to allow the dryness not to to affect it. If you, you know, many people will bring in plant material that they say my leaves are turning yellow and falling. I don't know what's going on. Well, if there's no spots in the leaves and it's just yellow, they're drying out just enough to cause that to happen, but you're giving it enough water soon enough so it doesn't burn on you. You know how plants will, they'll crinkle up and wilt and then burn. Well, if you're giving this plant enough water, but quite not enough to make it through the toughest part of the day, it will turn yellow. And we, you know, in the nursery, we see classic examples of that when a plant might fall. You know, we have overhead irrigation. Where the plant falls and it can't get the water, when we go check it the next day, the leaves will have started to yellow up. At this point, they will. And so we immediately get it watered, and it's fine. It'll do fine. So that's kind of a way of telling you. Now, if you have spots on the leaves, that's a different animal. It's fungus, and, you know, that's another issue. But just kind of keep that in mind that you want to kind of look and see what you need to do to change your watering. Odds are you're going to have to increase it, if not only the number of days, maybe the time of the day. You know, again, we always talk about this, Jeff. Mornings are the best, and the reason that is because you can generally get it through the toughest part of the day without having an issue. The other thing you want to watch is that if for some reason a plant was root-bound going into the summer, meaning that it may have been a plant that you had in the same container last year, and it has grown, and it's a much bigger plant for the container size that it's in. You really are going to start to see issues now, and the reason is that if you pull that plant out of the container, you're going to see a lot more roots than you do soil. And why it becomes an issue now is that there's not enough soil in that container to hold moisture.
Has the plant eaten up some of that soil? Is it absorbed some of it?
Yeah, it's actually utilized. Any of the organic matter in the soil was broken down, and utilized by the plant, and then a lot of it just leaches out. But for the most part, it's either utilized.
That's true when you pour water down and you
know. It leaches. And so what you have is you have a plant that it can survive forever as long as you get the water and nutrients to it. But it's impractical as a homeowner to be able to make it survive because you can't give it enough water. You pour a little water in there and you just see it. It just goes straight through because there's no soil in there to hold the moisture so the plant can pick it up over a period of time. And so when temperatures get this extreme, that's when it's really a challenge because you water it, the water goes through it, and really and truly, you'd probably need to go an hour later and water again and water again. So most people don't have these automatic watering systems, so it's really impractical. So the only answer to that is to actually bump it up and to put it into a larger container so that you have more soil, less roots, and the plant will do fine. So if you've been struggling to keep it watered because of a root mound situation, then you know you're gonna almost have to bump it up.
Is there something you'll see like the water coming out of the bottom of the pot quicker because there's less dirt? Is that a sign?
You'll certainly there's gonna be two things you're gonna see. One, you're gonna see the water come out really fast. And at the top, you're going to see the water just not stay. You know how normally you fill up a container, and it just the water fills up at the top, and then slowly goes through the plant material. Well, when you're watering a plant that's really root bound, you can fill it up, and then you just see it like a sieve, just go straight through. And if you keep doing it, it's going to keep doing that. Whereas if you have a plant that maybe is really really dry but has enough soil, it'll do that initially, Jeff. But after maybe the second or third time, then it starts to slow down because the soil starts to fill up with moisture and expand. Whereas if there's no soil left or very little soil left, there's no room for there's no soil to expand, so it just keeps going through. But the easiest way to tell is to actually just take that plant, pull it out, and you're going to see. It's going to be 80% roots and 20% soil, and that's a problem at any point, but it's really a problem over the next two and a half months where it needs moisture, and the only way to get it, it can't hold it. You have to keep giving it to it, and maybe two or three times a day, and which is okay if you can do it, but if you leave for a day, that plant's going to be in severe trouble.
Gotcha. And now, I know some plants do well root bound.
That's a good point. And even those, in a classic one that's growing right now is one called the bougainvillea. Okay, you know, in an ideal world, you're going to have a plant that's the roots are really intertwined, okay, but in a larger pot, because essentially what you have there is a plant that's massed upon itself, that's root bound. But it does have more soil around that root-bound area to hold moisture. So what we generally tell people is that with bougainvilleas, when you take it out of the initial container, normally, Jeff, you would take a plant out of a container and you'd say...
Bust it up a little bit.
You'd bust it up a little bit and put it in a pot size about twice the size of that it's in now. Whereas with plants that need to be root-bound, such as the bougainvillea, what you do is you take it out, but instead of busting the roots, you don't bust the roots. And instead of going into a pot size at twice, just go slightly bigger so that as it begins to grow out of that root bound, it's going to get root bound quicker. But the advantage to doing that, Jeff, is that the plant will actually will grow and continue to bloom, whereas if you have it in a small container that it's been in for a long time and root bound, it's going to be limited or certainly slowed down dramatically on how much new growth it's going to put out. Whereas if you keep slowly bumping it up into slightly bigger containers, not only the plant will bloom really, really good because it is technically still root bound, but it'll also grow and get much, much bigger and easy to take care of because it still needs that moisture. And so it will have the moisture, but the roots will be intertwined. So.
Gotcha.
That's kind of the basis of that. And keep in mind, Jeff, especially when it comes to container plants this time of year, is that you need to give them fertilizer. Remember, you know, because you're watering them so much, the fertilizer is leaching out dramatically. And one that people make a mistake on is hibiscus. Hibiscus are heavy, heavy feeders, and so they take a lot of fertilizers. So you want to put that fertilizer in the pot once a month, whereas maybe with plants, hibiscus that may be in the ground, you wouldn't have to do it as much. But technically, you could still do that. But remember, any plant that's in a container, hanging baskets, Boston ferns, or any type of flowering hanging basket that's in a container that's hanging up, leaches that fertilizer rapidly. So once a month is important. A lot of people, like with the hibiscus, for example, they will add Epsom salt. You know, we have fertilizer that have all that in there. Epsom salt is basically magnesium sulfate. So you buy a fertilizer that has that magnesium sulfate. So you're not mixing, making your own concoction. You can actually just put one thing that encompasses all their needs, and it kind of simplifies it. And then you want to do that, you know, when it comes to the tropicals, such as bougainvilleas and hibiscus and the hanging baskets, whether it be Boston ferns or whatever. You want to do that till about the end of September. You don't want to push all these tropicals really hard going into the cool months, because you're going to have this new growth that's much more susceptible to hard freezes and hard cold. So it's basically, we say during the growing season, which would be once a month from about April to the end of September, is when you really want to push hibiscus. But anything that's in a container is going to need more fertilizer than it would take ordinarily in the ground. So kind of keep that in mind when it comes to that. I did bring a plant in, Jeff, to show you, and this right here is a coleus.
Okay.
Coleus is a very underutilized plant.
How young is that plant? Because it's big.
Well, this one's big, and this
you,
is
you don't usually bring something that big.
No, that's right, and this is probably a classic example. We're going to see. We talked about a plant, and you have the cleaning crew coming in.
As a matter of fact, I do today, because we got the open house tomorrow. So, well, so have at it, man.
Well, anyway, so a coleus is a big leafy plant, comes in many, many colors. The leaf color, the ones, you know, I have in here now is kind of a reddish, burgundyish with some green in it, but they come in yellows, purples, and they make a big plant. They'll get upwards of 24 to 30 inches tall and really bushy. The reason I bought this one in is to show you, Jeff, and is that when a plant like this is getting legging, if I pulled this out of the container, which I'm not because I don't want to make a mess, but it would be really root-bound in here. When we water this plant right here, right now, at the stage it's in, we have to water this two or three times a day to really keep it viable and healthy, exactly. Whereas if we bump it up to a bigger container, once a day would be plenty, okay? But the real reason I brought it in is that this plant is, I guess, about 12, 18 inches tall. And it has these long stems. It has about five or six long stems full of very colorful leaves. Well, I can actually take this off, and I'm going to break this stem off of this plant. And if I took this stem, which is now broken off from the mother plant, and I broke this, and I stuck this in the ground and took the leaves off, Jeff, that's going to root and make a new plant.
Is that right?
Very, very, very easy. But the best part about it, if I take this plant,
and there was no root material there whatsoever.
Yeah, what Jeff is looking at is just one stem of a coleus plant with a bunch of leaves at the top and a bare stem at the bottom. It's about 12 inches tall.
How deep are you putting that into the ground?
You'd want to cover it. You want to stick the stem in there a good, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches, enough so it's real stable. And ideally, you'd put this in the shade. This will take sun or shade.
But to start it,
to get the cuttings, otherwise those leaves are going to evaporate too fast because it has no roots to pick up moisture. So if it's in the shade and you just kind of keep it moist, or even actually spray it with a little, like a Windex type sprayer, mist it, it'll do great right now. And it's amazing how easy they root. So you can get a lot of different plants.
Are we talking about putting it into the ground or a pot?
You could do it either way.
Okay.
So either way, but. I mean, the great thing about coleus is that
indoors, would that start well indoors, again, out of the sun, that kind of a situation? Or
It would be better in the shade outside.
Gotcha.
Where you got some humidity and doing well. But you could do it outside, inside. You just have to keep it the leaves more humid. The other thing you can do with coleus is that because they get really, really tall, if you left them alone, they would get 30 inches tall, but I can actually come in with this plant, and I'm going to destroy this plant right now, Jeff.
You already got a good start to it.
And I'm going to take it, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. I'm breaking this beautiful plant, and
If there were plant police and watching you do that, I think they'd really be on top of you.
And right now I took a beautiful plant that was 18 to 24 inches tall, and all I have now is about five stems with a bunch of sprouts at the bottom. You know, I bring this back in 2 weeks, and now what you have is a beautiful low-to-the-ground plant that's full of new growth that's about 12 inches tall. And what you do with coleus is you can go in there two or three times a week and just break stems off constantly to keep them fuller and lower. So you don't have to be as dramatic as what I just did. So if you would go through your coleus two or three times a week this time of year and just break the taller stems off within it, you're going to be able to maintain a lower, fuller coleus plant that just gives you a different look. Now, you can leave it alone and let it do what it naturally wants to do, and in some situations that's good, but some people may have a pod or whatever that they don't want that plant to get too tall, or they don't want the plant to overtake the container because they have other plants in it. Just constantly go in there and break it off, and it just seems like, man, there's no way I should be doing that. But with the coleus, and this is true with any of the varieties, they will do extremely well and perform very well. The kind of the same thing, but not as dramatic, you can do with the caladiums, but it's more to do with the seed pods, as whereas not with the leaves itself.
And it's funny you mentioned caladium. It looks similar to a caladium leaf color-wise.
Right.
Maybe not completely shaped, not as big.
Right.
But of a leaf, but did kind of remind me of that.
Yeah, you know, it's basically leaf color as opposed to flower color. Now, both of them will bloom. The coleus will actually make a small, delicate-looking flower that's very pretty. And but it's the same with the caladiums. If you break off the seed pods and the flowers, they will produce more leaves. So many people will go in there, and they'll actually cut off the seed pod on the caladium plant to allow it to make new leaves. Now, caladiums, it won't root as well as the coleus will. Coleus will just root very readily and perform really good. Both of these in the winter, Jeff, whether it be the coleus or the caladiums, will die down to the ground in the winter. The coleus will generally not come back. It may come back from seed if you wait long enough, but usually I treat the coleus as an annual, whereas the caladium, you're actually planting a bulb in the ground, and those will, you know, 8 times out of 10 come back. Assuming you have a good bed that's drained really good, they will come back and be viable from year to year, whereas the coleus will not. Well, but the coleus, keep in mind, they take up such a – this little plant right here is one plant that you could have started from a little 4-inch plant, and I don't know, Jeff, it took up a good 12, 18 inches before I mutilated it, and that's what they'll do and more if you let them get bigger. So the coleus plant is a great plant to be utilized as a filler. If you have a big bed, you're saying, man, I just got too much, it's one that you can actually put – in the back of the bed, let them get tall and just fill out the back area and then go with some more true flower color in the front of it, and that works real well. Or you could just use coleus by itself, and they will perform extremely well. And it's just an underutilized plant. We sell a lot of coleus, but in relation, you got to kind of get used to the fact that leaf color is a great way to add color without actually looking at flowers to a bed or a pot, and it makes a dramatic effect very easily. The coleus come in a wide range of colors, and not all varieties, but many varieties will take full sun or full shade. So you got some leeway there. You know, a lot of times you're limited in terms of what you can plant where because of the fact that you might have sun or shade. These, not all of them, but many, many of them will go either way, and they're very, very hardy. As a general rule, Jeff, the bigger the leaf of the plant, the more water they need, and that's true with the coleus. They do need a lot of water, otherwise they wilt down, but boy, they tough because, you know, after you water them, they generally pop back really fast, really quickly. And so just kind of keep that in mind. And it's not too late to plant either one, either the caladiums by bulbs or the coleus by plants. Keep in mind if you're going to plant caladiums this late, they will go on later for you in the fall. You know, generally if you plant caladiums when most people plant, which would be April and May, they generally will start to fade out in late September, October, depending on weather. And whereas you plant clams later, they're going to go to late October, November, again, depending on weather. But that's kind of the basic difference. But both of them will grow very rapidly right now.
How does this one do over winter?
Well, the coleus will not come back. So you want to treat the coleus as an annual. But because it's, you know, it's a relatively inexpensive plant in the sense that one plant will cover a big area. So, you know, this plant right here will easily cover 18 inches, but you don't have to place each plant 18 inches apart. You can actually place them 2 feet apart. Even though they might not be touching, they're still going to make a solid show. So one plant every 2 feet, you know, that covers a big area as opposed to many of the bedding plants you plant maybe 8-10 inches apart. So one plant will cover the same space as three petunias or impatiens or whatever. So from that standpoint, they're inexpensive. They make a fast show and a dramatic show. You know, you don't want to get an early start on these. Same thing with caladiums, is that they don't like the cold at all. They don't like a cold ground at all. And they can have issues if you have some warmer weather and then it gets cold on you, they can have issues that would cause problems. So what we try to tell our customers is that, remember, these are all fast-growing plants. Just hang in there generally to about April, middle of April, and then plant them. And, you know, the people who plant them early, it will catch up to those and not have any issues if we get some cold weather. And I'm not talking about major cold. I'm talking about if we get some rainfall in the or some rain and the temperatures are in the upper 40s lower 40s to upper 30s, these plants will have problems. They just don't like it. So once night temperatures start to get into the, you know, the 70s and you know, they will grow. I mean, literally, the coleus grow fast. Overnight, you can see a difference. You know, you can leave and come back a week later, and you'd be amazed the amount of growth that you're going to see with these plants. And they perform really, really well.
Very good, very good. You talked about it's not too late to plant. Any other good ideas on this time of year that you can still get some benefit from?
Well, there's still a lot. The choice of plants is going to be critical in the sense that, you know, some people are coming in trying to plant petunias, Jeff, and it's just too late. You know, certain plants is just too late, and they won't take the heat really good. But, you know, coleus, caladiums, vinca, impatience, you know, you get into lantanas and heather, salvias. There's a lot of things that you could plant late that you haven't, if you haven't got a good start off, that will do really good. Just the main thing is, as we talked, you know, you're planting a new plant in a hot situation, not a big deal as long as you water it properly. If you're doing that, they're not going to have a problem. They're going to thrive. But if you're saying, well, I'm going to leave for a week, and I don't have anybody watering, it's probably not a good idea, because a week will do them in. You know, even a weekend will do them in. So you always want to have that preparation, whether it be in, you know, any type of little temporary irrigation system or just a way in which somebody maybe to come and water your plant material to allow them to survive. And other than that, just a little fertilization and a little water, they will grow very, very fast.
Very good. Anything else you want to pass
I think
along?
That's it, Jeff. You know, we're kind of in between seasons when it comes to the vegetables. You know, we still got the heat-tolerant tomatoes, which people should plant through the month of July and early August. And then so they're still planting their fall tomatoes in the summertime. And other than that, we're kind of in between. You can still plant cucumbers and snap beans. But, you know, what's going to happen now, Jeff, is people are going to be in a transition from – you know, a lot of tomatoes are starting to head south, the old tomatoes that were planted in the spring. And so then they transition to the fall garden. If you're looking for a ground cover, we've talked in the past, you know, peas, southern peas like purple hulls and black eyes, that's a great ground cover plant to scatter in the garden. Let them fill out. You can harvest the peas, and then you till in the leaves of the plant, and it really conditions the soil. And it's an easy way to condition your soil, get some southern peas, as well as keep the weeds down, all in one stroke.
Excellent. And again, you know how I love ground cover. The more or the least grass I have to cut, the better.
That's it. Plant peas in your front yard.
There you go. Why not? Why not? Richard, always a pleasure at the corner of St. Peter and Hopkins Street, open 6 days a week these days.
That's it, Jeff.
All right. Once again, Richard, appreciate you coming by. We'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.